playing. Everybody looks excited tonight. And I was kidding there, all right? I'm like Brother Marion up here. Y'all must have lost your best friend or something. Or your last friend. Yeah, dog died. Something must have happened. But hey, I don't know. I'm glad you made it to church tonight. All right, we'll try to help you leave in either a better manner or give you a reason to be mad one. So, but we're glad you're here tonight. Good to see you. And I trust you. I had a good day in spite of the way you look. All right, so I want to remind you, pray for Mrs. Pope. Pray for her. She's with her family up. Her mom passed away this week. And so if you would pray for her, that, and remember what she really wants you to pray is God will give her the opportunity to witness to her family. Many of them are lost, do not know the Lord, and she just wants that chance that they would listen to the gospel, all right? So pray for her in that respect, if you would. Pray for Brother Ms. Graham. They are still having physical issues. And pray for Brother McNabb. Pray for Ms. Brown. These are folks that are still trying to recover after going through rehab and those kind of things. And we'd love to see them back in the house of God with us, all right? So pray for them. Pray for them that God will give them that strength back that they need, and they'd be able to be back in service with us. Don't forget service Wednesday, 7:30. Where 6:30 came from, 7:30. You'd be with us. And I just want to remind you men, 8 o'clock Saturday evening, we have men's prayer meeting. And I just encourage you to come, all right? I'd like to see the number there increase. And so just make it a part. Make it a part of your life, you know, if there's any way you can. And I know some of you, the distance is a problem, and I understand that. But others may be in this neck of the woods. You could just come. We're not usually here very long. We just gather and we pray and seek God's help and his blessing. So I encourage you to get in that. Be with us in those things, all right? We're blessed tonight to have a missionary with us. He's on the way to where he's headed. And this is Brother Miracle. That's close enough, right, to your name. Amen. And I told him, I said, look, you're here. I don't ever have a missionary come that I don't think we haven't come give a word or two. And so come speak to us, if you would, brother. And really, until you, I told you that time limit, but if you go over, we won't open the trap.
My name is William Miracle, and I am just passing through. The Lord is doing a miracle in my life right now, so I get back into China. I've been in China since 2003. My wife Becky and I, we went to China my situation is just simply that I wasn't trying to be a missionary. I'm just trying to follow God's will in my life, and I believe that the way that He has chosen to reach the world is by planting local churches. And so the place I knew of, that I didn't know of anything going on, was Central Asia. So my wife and I moved to Beijing because we heard they have standard Chinese, whatever that meant. And my wife was also pregnant at the time, and so we had a baby there in 2003, and got to slowly try to learn that language, and got to take over. A missionary came back on furlough, and I took over his church for a couple years, or about a year and 4 months or so. And then I wanted to leave Beijing and get out of there because it's very comfortable there. It's easy to stay there forever. And but the Lord just wouldn't lead me on, so we started a church there, then turned that over to a man that I led to the Lord. And so he's still there. And then we moved to southwest China, which is sort of the south. I was telling your pastor that it's kind of the very middle of China. It looks funny when you look at a map and it's in the very middle, and I call it southwest. That's what it's called. And so we've been there now since 2010, started a church there just in our living room. I expect you to understand that it's all underground, and some people don't usually get that. This, as far as what we're doing, it cannot be openly done. Amen. And so if you wonder how to do it, I don't even know myself. The Lord just got to do a miracle.
Amen.
And so we started a second church and honestly, the first one had gone just in such an amazing fashion. To be frank with you, I got to China with fear and trepidation that I would never get anything going and that I was just going to spin my wheels. And so when the Lord let us start the first church, I was just like amazed. And then Lord, can you do it again? Can you do it a second time? So the Lord blessed the second time. We started a church in our living room. That's grown. It's now on its own. It has a young man that we were part of his seeing him come to Christ in Beijing, he eventually moved down to be with us in the city we're in now, and he's now taken that over, that church over. And so then we started a third church, and that church is still, I'm still, the what was supposed to happen, what actually happened, two different things. I was supposed to be the assistant now. Things have changed in China quite a bit. There's a lot more pressure, it's a little more serious now than it used to be. So I was thinking that now I've reached the stage in my ministry where I'm gonna just take men that I've trained and help them start churches. But what I've discovered is that just, you know, sometimes it doesn't work the way you expect it to work. And so I am now the pastor of that church. And the man that I started with, he's still there. He preached last night when I was talking to your pastor. And usually I'm preaching on that most Saturday nights here. So the situation is this. I had never taken a furlough before. A couple years ago, in 2019, the Lord was working it out. Just it made it clear, it's his will that we have this furlough. And it was going to be for 6 months because the China made a new tax policy where for those foreigners who have been living in China without paying taxes on their outside income, they were trying to change that loophole. Well, they didn't realize they were grabbing me in that, in the sense that I hadn't been out of China enough. And so so they were going to start making me report on my U.S. income. And I found it a very scary way that our IRS cooperates with the Chinese IRS back and forth. And so they will report on me if I fall in this category. And so I had to come out for 6 months exactly. So we left, my wife and I left in September of 2019. We're supposed to go back March exactly 185 days later. We had our tickets to go back last March. And then with this COVID thing, they canceled our tickets. And so we just kept trying to figure out, okay, when is this going to stop? When do we get to go back? We had to get back quickly because our visas were going to expire in June. And I shouldn't say visa, our residence permit, which is even harder to get. And we have a little business there that allows us to have those visas, but it's a lot of money and it's just not easy to get. So this last June, those expired, and that was a huge letdown. And so we kind of figured, well, hey, the summer, the COVID numbers will go down, we'll get back in. Long story short, I'm still standing here right now. And so China sort of opened up at the end of September. And crazy enough, I had one child. We have four children. All of them are born in China, but they do have American passports and they speak English. But one of our daughters, it was her passport was expiring this March. And in China, they require you have 6 months of validity in your passport to get a visa there. So we had to get her a new passport. By the time that was done, they had changed the policies again. And so long story short, I have a visa. They've granted me a visa because I have a business there. I am the legal entity. And so they're looking at it as my business will die if I don't go back, which is actually true. And so they've granted me a visa, but not my family. So we've tried several more times to get my family over there, written some really, you know, weepy letters, you know, but to no avail so far. So the hope is that I'll be going back to China, and I will try to get my family over there to China. If for some reason the policy hasn't changed and I can't get them over there in a reasonable time, then I'll just wrap up what our part is over there. We've been very blessed over there, and for my kids, we try to on purpose make it where they love China as home. America is kind of like heaven, and then China is like normal everyday life. And so for our kids, when they left, they were not anticipating, you know, being gone this long. And of course, our home is there, our family is there, as far as spiritual family, our hearts are there. And so probably that we all get to go back. I'll be leaving here, Lord. Well, the reason I'm here early is simply because China requires that I get a special COVID test before I fly out within 48 hours, and I'm leaving on Wednesday, Lord willing, and so I have to get these tests tomorrow. So the one thing you pray that if the Lord wants us back there, He'll help me pass the test. I did have COVID recently, so there might be some COVIDs going on in my body, you know. I tested negative before I came here, but those tests come and linger. And so that'll be tomorrow that I'll do that, and then if I pass those, then I'll fly out on Wednesday. I'll arrive in China in the large city of Shanghai. Right now, what's going on, just to understand, this is a miracle to me. This is what's going on right now is just amazing because it was very, very hard to find tickets to get back. I had my tickets canceled again. I was supposed to go back last week, and those were canceled a month ago. And so I could not find a flight in. And what was going on is that all the flights leaving America no longer go directly to China, or there's very few. Almost all of them are going through other cities, like especially Seoul in Korea. And then China made this crazy law that if every place you stop on your journey, you have to get a COVID test there. Well, there's no COVID test in the airport, so which means you have to leave the airport, and any of these countries, the airport, you have to quarantine there for several weeks. And so so I was just racking my brain. I found a ticket. I went through the whole process, got to the very end. And the very end, they said, due to COVID-19, yada, 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 and they just stopped it right there. And so I was going crazy. And then the Lord did a miracle. At least it looks like he's doing a miracle right now. The reason why I'm here is because a man who we had spent a little bit of time in Korea. There's some really neat churches there. And we had gotten to go meet some of our military churches there that are doing a great job. And in one of those churches, we met a man who was a pilot for the Air Force. And he just kept in touch with our family all these years. And then he called me out of the blue and said, I think I can help you get back into China. And so the long and the short of it is that he's works for American Airlines, but he's actually never worked for American Airlines. So a year ago, they brought him on as a pilot. Then COVID hit. He's never flown for them, but he has an employee number. So I was going to, that ticket I almost bought was $3,000, which was cheap right now. But for us, it's several times more than we've ever paid to go to China. I was actually trying to, like, I want to buy this. And now all we had to pay was the tax on it. And I'm going to be flying on American Airlines, Dime Lord willing. Isn't that amazing? But I had to come here to fly out. And so I'm from the West Coast. I'm a West Coast guy, and I'm sorry. Just how it is. That's okay. Yeah. So I've got to get out of here quickly. I need to get out of here this week because time changes this Sunday, and I don't want to go through that. I want to go to a place where you do it logically and don't have this lose your hour of sleep on that night. So I've got to fly out. So that's the thing. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen, bro. Yes.
See, the Lord can do what we never can. I mean, amen. Just can't even come close to it. So what a blessing that is. Pray for this man, all right? Pray for him and his work there. To do what he does. A lot of the missionaries that have been over there are no longer able to be there. Some have been denied visas, and a lot of different things have happened. So pray for him that the Lord keep that witness there. Ushers, if you'll come tonight, we're going to receive our Sunday evening offering, and I hope you'll come and help us and take a part. Brother Lance, get up here real quick and lead us in a word of prayer, if you would. This whole thing of putting our services online has really caused us to try to get used to a new thing. If I have somebody pray out in the audience, the folks listening can't hear anything. All right, I mean, it's nothing. So we have to get people up here. And then my brother and I, we always fail to do that.
Right.
We forget to do that, all right? And so that's the reason. Brother Lance, if you come pray for the offering, sir.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord, just thank you so much for the opportunity to gather in your house tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll just be with our service. Pray that you'll meet with us, work in our hearts, Lord. Lord, just want to pray especially for Miss Poe tonight, Lord. Pray that you'll just work with her, Lord, provide her the opportunity to witness to those family members this week, and just work in a mighty way there and let her see family members saved, God. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, I'm going higher someday. Amen. Once again in your hymn books tonight, if you would stand together, turn to number 146. When peace like a river attendeth my way, it is well with my soul. Number 146. Everyone singing together. When peace like a river attendeth my way.
morning. You can be seated. And if it's not well with your soul, well, it's time to take care of it. You need to make things well with your soul. And I hope you'll do that. I thought there how much Brother Hawkins used to love that song. We'd sing that song. Brother Hawkins would just weep. And he's singing it. And I miss him still to the day. Take your Bible, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 4, all right? Proverbs chapter 4, if you will, in the Word of God. And open your Bible up and follow along with us. And we'll be in several places in Proverbs before we get through. And we might even visit some other books. Who knows, all right? Proverbs chapter 4, if you would. Look with me down at verse 20. The Bible said, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." I want you to notice especially that last verse. There we read verse 23, where the Bible says, "Keep thy heart." Keep thy heart. In the physical realm, physicians have discovered the truth of this verse. All the attention in the world today is placed upon the heart when you start talking about health. Listen, if you want attention, if you've ever been to the emergency room, if you go to the emergency room, they'll take you in. They'll say, "What's the problem?" You tell them, they'll say, "Have a seat right there. We'll be with you in a little bit." But if you go in there and say, "I'm having chest pains," come right on in this door right there. We'll have you in a room, and there's somebody with you, all right? So I would strongly urge you. No, I was fixing to say something that wasn't true. And if you go to the hospital, you know, tell them, "Hey, I've got a lot of problems, but there is a little pain here in my chest." Have somebody hit you in the chest before you go in, all right? And that way you can tell them that. But you do get attention that way. Man, they want to check your heart, you know. You go into a doctor's office, first thing they do, set you down, they plug you on this machine, and they listen to your heart, and they check your blood pressure, and they want to know about your cholesterol and your triglycerides and all that kind of fun stuff. And we hear about heart attacks, we hear about heart failure, we hear about heart fibrillations, all these things. Hey, if you want to live a long life, you need to keep your heart in good shape.
Amen.
Need to keep your heart in good shape. But can I say this to you? In the spiritual realm, it's even more important.
Yes, sir.
More important that you keep your heart. So important you keep your heart. Why? Well, first of all, eternal issues are dependent upon you keeping your heart.
Right.
Your heart, all right? You ought to keep your heart because notice what the Bible said there in the verse we just read. The issues of life depend on your heart, okay? And when you start talking about the issues of life, you just tell me what's not covered right there, all right? It's everything. You need to keep your heart because it's so well known to God.
Amen.
The Bible said He tries the heart. He searches your heart. So you need to keep your heart because He knows it. He knows it, all right? Well known to Him. And notice that word that's there in verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Diligence. That's an important word. You say, "Why is that so necessary?" Because your heart and my heart is so deceitful.
Amen.
Treacherous. People say the dumbest things. Man, how many times you heard somebody say, "Well, just follow your heart." Don't do that. You be careful about doing that. So, well, wait a minute, preacher. We're talking about love. You know, we're talking about being in love. Now, you have to follow your heart. No, you better not. You better not. You need to be careful, all right? You need to be careful. I've said this before. I'm not really sure how I'm getting into this. It's really nothing to do with the message, but I've said this many times before. You can fall in love all you want to, but you love who you decide to love. You make a choice about who you decide to love. Now, you might love them because they look good. They'll change. That will change. The one thing is guaranteed to change is the way people look. You know, you those of you like myself, been around a few years, go back and look at your high school annual. You barely recognize your own picture, all right? And if you were to go through that and find people that you know today and look at, they hardly recognizable, all right? People change. Your looks are going to change. Be careful. Be careful about that business of, well, follow your heart. No, don't do that. You need to not follow your heart. It's deceitful. It's treacherous. But the one thing you need to do is keep your heart. Keep your heart. You say, well, how are we going to keep it? Number one, you need to keep it clean.
Amen.
Need to keep it clean. Remember what David said there in Psalm chapter 51 and verse 10? He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. If we can keep our heart right, our actions will be right. Our actions will be right. David got into trouble in what he did because his heart wasn't right. So he came back to God and he said, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Amen. Clean heart. If you've got a clean heart, you'll have the right actions. If you've got a clean heart, you'll have the right attitude. Have the right attitude. But when it gets messed up, when that heart gets messed up, you're going to have problems. You need to keep your heart clean. So then the question becomes, how in the world do we do that? How can I do that? Look, you can keep the hands clean. We've been living in hands clean days, right? You know, if you touch anything, use hand sanitizer, soap and water, keep washing. We even had lessons on how to wash your hands. You know, this is the way you wash your hands, as if you didn't know that, okay? You know, if you got to go through all of that, hey, that's fine for washing your hands, but you can't pull that heart out and wash it off. You can't do it. It's got to be washed where it's at. And the only way to do it, I believe, is through the Word of God. Through the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26, the Bible says that he might sanctify it, or sanctify and cleanse it with a washing of water by the Word. It's the Word of God. The Word of God. The more Word of God you can run through you, the cleaner you can keep your heart. We encourage you. We put out a Bible reading schedule. We want you to read the Bible through in a year. That is not so at the end of the year you'll get a sticker. All right? Not so at the end of the year you'll be able to put that on your chart, or you'll be able to say, this is the 497th time I've read my Bible through. All right, no. Now, hey, I'm glad you have.
Yes, sir.
But that's not the reason we do it.
No, sir.
One of the reasons we keep encouraging you to read your Bible, why? Keep your heart clean.
That's right.
Keep your heart clean. It needs to be cleansed. I never forget years ago when Brother Roloff was still alive and in the battles that he was in here in the Texas, we went to some rallies and some meetings, and, man, it was amazing to Brother Roloff, he'd get up there and have a big group of folks from his homes, and man, he'd call out a verse and they'd quote it together. They'd quote that word of God. Our problem is when we're put on the spot, we can't quote a verse of scripture. Hey, you know, what verse do you know? We're like kids. John 11:35. I know that one, you know. But most of us can't remember where that one's found. We just know it's Jesus wept. You know, let me encourage you to shift over to something else. Go to the verse that says rejoice evermore. All right? Just do that. Pray without ceasing. That's in the Bible too, okay? But we don't know that word of God. Brother Roloff, though, they would get in people for those homes. And man, the one thing they saturated them with was the word of God. The Word of God. It was demanded of them that they memorize Scripture. And I mean chapters of Scripture. And it was put into them. You said, why you want to do that to somebody? Man, I can't memorize. Yeah, you can. God gave you a mind. It's a wonderful thing. We don't use it very much. He said, why'd they do that? Because they knew that it was the Word of God that would clean them up.
Amen.
It was the Word of God that would clean them up. It's not psychology. It's not counseling. It was the Word of God. The Word of God that made the difference. Hey, that's the way you clean it. That's the way you keep it clean. You keep it clean, the same heart. Listen, if you've got a clean heart, it'll give you a clean way to go, all right? The Word of God, it just has a way. It keeps your life right. The Bible tells Psalms 119, verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Have you ever thought how hard it is to go wrong when you're heeding the Word of God? Just to take the Bible, heed what it says, do what it says. How hard is it for you to go wrong when you're doing that? How hard can it possibly be? Hey, it works better than that guide we put in, plug on our phone, and gives us directions to places. I'm telling you, it works better than that. I've had one of those things before, and we were driving along and said, make a right turn. Take the next right. Take the next right. Take the next right. You have arrived at your destination. Yeah, we passed it three turns ago, all right? Why couldn't we just stop when we got there then, you know? I've literally had that happen. Had it happen. The Word of God doesn't take you all through that, but the Word of God will help you to stay in the right way. You get yourself clean through the Word of God. You keep yourself clean through the Word of God. Keep that old heart that way. And if you do it, man, and you'll just heed the Word of God, it's amazing how much trouble you can stay out of. You know, how hard is that? How hard is that? It's just as hard as it was when you were a kid and to do what your parents said. I never got a whipping for doing what my parents said. Never. But I got a whipping a lot of times because I didn't do what they said. In some instances, I got a whipping because I did what they said not to do. All right? But you don't get in trouble heeding the Word of God. It'll keep your way straight. Yet, man, you deal with so many people. And, preacher, I just have such a hard time keeping my life right. What do you mean? Take the Word of God and do what it says. No, that's too simple. We need a 37-step program that I will be able to do that, all right? And if you could teach a 12-week seminar on this, then I could, okay, 12 weeks saying over and over again, do what the Bible says. Do what the Bible says. We like the long, drawn-out things, but it's so easy. The Bible just said you want to keep your way right? Then heed what the Bible says. Hey, you clean your life up. How? With the Word of God. Clean your heart with the Word of God. With the Word of God. Keep it clean with the Word of God. And can I say this to you? Constantly examine it to make sure it's clean. Constantly examine it to make sure it's clean. We do that, you know. We get clothes out. We look at them. Yep, they're clean. We'll put them on. We try to keep them clean. We look for that spot. We be on the lookout for it. Hey, you need to do that with your heart. The Bible said keep your heart, for out of it the issues of life. Keep it what? Keep it clean. Keep it clean. But that's not the only way you need to keep it, my friend. You need to also keep your heart consecrated to God. Consecrated to God. You said, what is that? It is really a solemn dedication of your heart to Him. Because if He has your heart, He will have you. He will have you dedicated. Boy, I see people that dedicate themselves to all kinds of causes today. Christian people. Save the whales. I didn't know they could get saved personally, but I guess so. But people do that. I'll never forget, we had a church member one time that gave to money to saving the wolves. Saving the wolves. I mean, you know, just there's all kinds of causes today. Some of them are good. Some of them aren't worth a flip, all right? Yet how few really dedicate themselves to the will of God. That's consecration, all right? That's what it means to be consecrated to God. It means I've got a devotion to His will. Not my will, not what I want, not the direction I want to go, but Lord, what do You want me to do? That open, that able to say, if you will, in honest and truthfulness, not my will, but Thine be done. Amen. Consecrated to Him. Just what it is. Lord, what do You want me to do? I'll do what You want me to do. I've said it hundreds of times. I'll keep saying it till I die. Most people, seemingly as Christians, we're afraid to do that because he'll call us to China as a missionary. I don't want to go to China. I'll tell you, God's not going to call everybody there. Okay, the jungles of Brazil. God's not sending everybody there. The fact that you'll devote yourself to the will of God for your life. You say, what's the will of God for my life? I don't know. That's what you need to find out. But you need to be consecrated to him, dedicated to that will, and I'll do whatever you want me to do. That will help you, all right? If you can keep your heart consecrated to God, keep you in the will of God for your life. My soul, what a thrill. I'll be honest with you. I'm glad God called this man to go to China. I'm a human being. I'm glad God didn't call me. You say, what? Yeah, I'm glad God didn't call me. Not to China. There's other places I'm glad he didn't call me. I'd rather go to China than California, I think. But I'm glad God didn't call me to those places, all right? I've said to people before, if God calls me, wants me to go to California, he's going to have to write it in the sky, man, and put my name with it, all right? But I'm glad he didn't. But I want to be in the will of God. And I'll tell you this, if that's the will of God, I want to be there.
That's right. Yes, sir.
I want to be there. And you know what? I said I don't want to go to China. Glad God didn't call me there. But I believe this with all my heart. If he did, I'd be thrilled to be there.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It'd be the place to be.
Because
that's where you want to be. You want to be in the will of God for your life. Listen, keep your heart clean, but keep it consecrated to God. If it's consecrated, it'll be soft for the touch of God. God's not going to have to knock you down to get your attention. If you're consecrated to him, man, it'll just be a simple thing. Just a little simple. I raise my kids on a snap of my finger, all right? Used to be able to snap them better. I didn't have arthritis in my thumb at that time. And man, I could snap my finger and both my kids would look at me. That's all I had to do. Listen, God needs you if you're consecrated to his will. It's a simple thing. It just takes a touch. And you say, all right, Lord, I know what you want. I'll go. I'll do what you want me to do. Keep your heart clean. Keep your heart consecrated. But could I say this? Keep your heart consumed with the things of God. Consumed with the things of God. If I were to ask you tonight, and you would really be honest, what is it that consumes you? What is it that consumes you? I mean, it's the driving force in your life. This is what does it. I mean, this is it, you know. This is just it. Is it some business? Is it, just some fun activity? Some people are consumed with camping. I'm not against camping. Some people are consumed with fishing. I like to fish. Some people are consumed with this or that or something else. But what is it consumes you? I believe with all my heart, God's people, our heart ought to be consumed with the things of God. We sometimes make this statement. We talk about being on fire for God. Where's that come from? Well, it's a good thing. It comes from the scriptures. John the Baptist, the Bible said, was a burning and shining light. Jeremiah told us that God's word was as a fire in his bones. All right? That being on fire for God is a wonderful thing. On the other hand, the Laodicean church is described as having lost its fire. It was neither cold nor hot. It was lukewarm. What a terrible way to be. Hey, if you're consumed with the things of God, you'll be on fire for God. That'll be your focus. That'll be it. If our light is going to shine, then we must burn for him, okay? We must burn in order. Our heart needs to be consumed. It needs to be kept hot. Needs to be kept hot. And the easiest way to keep something hot, now this is profound, be sure you get your pencil out and write it down. Stay close to the heat, all right?
Amen.
If you want to stay hot, then stay close to the source of heat. Be next to the fire. Stay next to the fire. The Bible said, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify ye hearts, ye double-minded. James chapter 4 and verse 8. Hey, draw nigh to God. You want to stay on fire. You don't stay on fire from God out in the world. You don't stay on fire from him. I've never, never known a Christian that was on fire for God that wasn't faithful in the house of God. Was not faithful in the local church. You're going to have trouble staying on fire for God. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're the preacher. I don't care if you're the evangelist. I don't care if you're whoever you might be. Anywhere in that group as a Christian, you're going to have a hard time staying on fire for God if you're not in the house of God. You need that. You need that. Why? Man, I've been out knocking doors I don't know how many times, over and over again. I've knocked on hundreds of doors that I believe I've talked to people that said, I'm saved. Well, where you go to church? I don't go. I used to go. What happened to them? They got out of church. They got away from God. They're cold. They're indifferent now to the things of God. Those things don't matter. They're not consumed. They're not even concerned about the things of God. Hey, listen, should never happen to us. And it won't happen to us if we'll keep our heart consumed with the things of God. With the things of God. Being faithful to him. Serving him. Reading your Bible. Being a witness. Being a testimony. Living a godly life. Just all of those things. Staying faithful in the house of God. Being involved in it. Have you ever noticed what a difference it makes? If you come to church and just sit, it will help you. It will help you. But if you come to church and you decide, I'll get involved. Well, we're going to sing. Song leader's up there and he wants me to smile. I'm not smile. I'm mad. I don't want to smile. But all right, he's pushing it. So I'll... You happy now? All right. And you just do it, and okay, wants me to sing. Don't like to sing, but I'll sing. I'm going to tell you something. You get involved in it, it'll warm you up. It'll warm you up. You sing. When the preaching's going on, nod your head. Or shake it, one or the other, all right? Just but in there. You're with us. You're involved. I'm with you. When the offering plate comes by, preacher, I knew you'd get there. I'm telling you, put something in. Take part. Why? You're trying to keep things hot. I want to be concerned with the things of God. I want to be concerned about it. I don't know if you've ever been to any kind of motivational meeting. Motivational speakers. They get you in the room, you know, and they'll try to give you something funny, and you know, they're trying to pump you up, and they want you to go out and conquer the world with the product that you have, you know, and get it done, and they stir you up, and you leave out of there, all right, I'm going to be a success. But we come to the house of God. How long is this going to last? All right? Listen, if we had just let our heart be consumed with the things of God, we'd get close to the fire. We'd stay close to the fire. Oh, my goodness. What a difference it'd make. But let me finish. This is the point you've been wanting to hear. It's the last point in the message. To keep your heart, you have to contribute your heart. You hear me? To keep your heart, you have to contribute your heart. You're there in Proverbs. Go over to Proverbs chapter 23, would you? Proverbs chapter 23. But you look at one verse, all right? I'll remind you while you're turning to Proverbs 23 that there in Proverbs chapter 4, the first two words we read tonight were, my son. See, I believe the Lord's talking to his people. And you get there in Proverbs chapter 23, and drop down, if you will, to verse 26. See the same two words. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Give me thine heart. You'll never keep it until you decide to give it. until you decide to give it. If you give it to him, if you'll give it to him. Hey, you can't be clean. You can't be consecrated. You can't be consumed until you've contributed that heart. Until you've got to the Lord and said, here it is. Here it is. If you'll just give him your heart, you'll give it to him. Hey, you'll never get it clean apart from the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5 says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. In his own blood. Now listen, until you give it to him and let him clean you up, you trust him as your Savior, hey, you'll never get it clean. You can't do it. You're trying to straighten something out that can't be fixed. That's people come and say, well, preacher, as soon as I can get my life straightened out, I'll come to church. Man, you're not going to get it straightened out. You're trying to do something on your own you cannot do on your own of yourself. Hey, the smartest thing you ever did is when you trusted Christ as your Savior. Amen. Put my trust in him, and I trusted him, and I'm coming to him. I gave him my heart, if you will, and I have to keep coming to him so that he can wash me, all right? He can clean me up. And I open his book up, and I read that book, and it cleans me up. It'll clean my mind. It'll clean my heart. It cleans my life, and it'll clean yours too. Hey, keep your heart. Keep your heart. How is it? How is it? You know, we go to the doctor. And what was it, a couple years ago or three, I had to have my gallbladder taken out. It was an emergency thing, getting to the hospital, you know, and I'm in pain. And so it worked. The pain was in my chest. When I went in the hospital, they got me back there quick. And but fortunately, it wasn't hard. It was gallbladder. And so they're already in there. They're lining up the surgery. And they said, you know, any past stuff? Well, I got 2 stents in my heart. What? Oh, we got to talk to a cardiologist. We can't do anything. Okay, so if the cardiologist says no, I'm expected to just live with this pain, right? Give me a knife. Let me see if I can get it out myself. All right, you know, it all comes back to that heart. It all comes back to that heart. Everything in our life comes back to this. That's why we read there, the Bible says, you keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The issues of life. Everything comes back to that heart. Everything comes back to your heart. Hey, listen, how are you keeping it? How are you keeping it? We go to the doctor. They check us out. They listen to our heart. They go through all of that stuff. They check it out, and they tell you, well, it looks like you're okay. You're okay. And we keep a check on it, you know, keep checking it. But how often do we check that spiritual heart of man? How often do we look at that? The Bible said, keep your heart. Are you doing it? Would you bow with prayer? All right, bow for prayer with me. Listen, is there heart problems? Are there heart problems tonight? Has it got a little dirty? Has it got a little dirty? I don't mean filthy, but just a little bit dirty. Just smudge here or there. Need to be cleaned up. Need to be cleaned up. Hey, maybe you've never really given it to the Lord. Maybe it's not consecrated to him. What are you going to do about that? Would you do something about it tonight? Decisions need to be made. Oh, listen, keep your heart. Keep your heart. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. Help us know and see the truth of the Scriptures. Lord, that we might be able to keep our heart. And it's our responsibility to do that. It's our responsibility to bring it to you. It's our responsibility to get in the Word of God. It's our responsibility to give ourselves to the will of God. Lord, it's not your job, that's our job. Help us to see it and realize it is our job and to do it. First, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Would you stand with us tonight as we sing the invitation hymn? Listen, if the Lord's speaking to you, then move. Don't wait till later. Don't wait till the second verse of the invitation. Move at the first verse of the invitation, all right? Just do what God wants you to do. We sing this first verse. Would you come tonight while we sing it? Come on.